Good evening, everyone. To our guests, as always, we are honored by your presence, and we thank you for being here tonight. We hope and pray that if you have not yet done so, you'll be willing to share your contact information with us so that we can get to know you a little more. To those of our brethren who were unable to join us this morning, we thank you for being here tonight. And as always, we are grateful for your presence, and we are grateful that we can rejoice together in this spiritual feast to be able to give our God our very best, as He has also done so with us. Please open your Bibles to the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus, chapter 12. The book of Exodus, chapter 12. We'll be reading verse 1 and verse 2. Exodus chapter 12, verse 1 and verse 2. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, "This month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you." Please bow with me in prayer. Our Heavenly Father and our beloved God, once more we come to Thee, Father, and we bow humbly and reverently before Thy presence. We are grateful for the love and the life that Thou have given us, and we are grateful for the opportunity that we have, Father, to serve Thee and to bring Thee honor and glory. Father, it is our prayer to You that we, Father, stand before Thee without shame. That as, Father, we break open the bread of life, that we, Lord, may delight in this delicious meal. And that, Father, we may understand why this commandment was given to the children of Israel, and how it is, Father, that it still applies to us today. How, Father, it is that we, Father, must be wise to learn and how to count our days, Father. For we understand that Thou wanteth us to have a quality of life and not a quantity only. Father, once more, thank You for the many blessings Thou have given us. And Father, forgive us when we have been ungrateful. Forgive us when we have been unfaithful. Forgive us, Father, when we have not been able to withstand temptation and have given in to it. Please, Lord, grant us the wisdom and the meekness to make those improvements, to make those changes necessary in our lives, so that Thou might be glorified for all of eternity. Father, for those of our brethren who are unable to join us tonight, Thou knowest their hearts and Thou knowest the reasons why. And Father, for our sick, once more in Thy precious hands we deposit them, asking Thee to be with the doctors and to also be with the medicines, Father, that are being used to tend to their illnesses, Father. Lord, we ask this and we pray this not because we are worthy, but we do it in the glorious and precious name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Excuse me. It is interesting that when we read this scripture, what we are reading about is that God commanded and God established a New Year's Eve and a New Year's Day. It's interesting because God here simultaneously was demonstrating to the Israelites an end and then a beginning. In fact, we see that when you study the entire chapter, it behooves us to see that we should be doing something similar when it comes to this time in our lives. You see, it's interesting because of the fact that God here was declaring to the children of Israel that this day needed to be of great importance for them. Because on this day, they would then be freed from the bondage of Egypt. On this day, they would no longer be slaves, but be free men. They would begin their journey toward the promised land. And therefore, the promises God made to Father Abraham would now begin to take shape and form before their eyes. But it is interesting, brethren, because we bring to our mind Romans chapter 15, verse 4. That these things that have been written before time, that these things that have been written in the past are for our learning. And indeed, it is important to know this because 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 mentions that Jesus Christ, who is our Passover, has already been given for us. And although we are no longer celebrating the literal Passover that the Jews and the Israelites celebrated in that time, we see that the concept of new beginnings is very, very clear in what Paul is teaching there to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 5. See, this is what we have chosen to entitle our lesson tonight, New Beginnings. We mentioned, brethren, throughout the day, how today being the very first Sunday of the year, I found it apropos for us to meditate upon how we want to start off this year. And the way I want us to take the example of the Passover as to what the instructions of God were to the children of Israel is how we should be then using this new beginning of 2024 in reference to the end of 2023. You see, God marked the beginning of Israel's new journey by making them remember and to look back first. God tells them that they were to remember this day. That they were to remember that they were once slaves in Egypt. That they were to remember that it was the almighty hand of God that freed them and took them out of slavery in Egypt. That they were to remember the works of our God that had been done with them. And brethren, as Christians, as newborn babes in Christ, as old-born babes of Christ, we must always remember where we were called out from. And every year that ends, that every year that begins, it is wise for us to look back in that year so that we could remember the works that God has done in our lives. Please turn with me to Luke chapter 17. In Luke chapter 17, notice why remembering the works of our God is important. Beginning there at verse 11. Luke chapter 17, verse 11 and forward. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, Go, show yourselves to the priests. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his feet, on his face, at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, Arise, go your way, your faith has made you well. Observe, brethren, how this Samaritan leper was the one and only one who remembered the works of God. Of the 10 men that were shown mercy to, of the 10 men that were given God's graceful action of cleansing them from their leprosy. You see, you have to remember that during these times, to be a leper was considered to be dead in life. These men were dead to society because, as we've already read, they had to stand afar off. They could not be within the city. They could not mingle with their families. They had to remain ostracized, or rather isolated, for their own protection, but for the protection of others as well. Therefore, their plea to Christ of have mercy on us was indeed a true plea. And Christ indeed had mercy on them. But only one remembered that it was because of Jesus' desire. That it was because of Him whom they had pleaded to. Him whom they had prayed to. That the miracle had taken place. And thus he remembered the works of God. He remembered whom had given him the cure to his death. And therefore he returned. He looked back and he went back to the very source of his healing. This one leper remembered to honor God. He remembered to praise God. He remembered to give thanks to the very being who gave him his life back. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, the Bible tells us that we too were dead in our trespasses and sins. We are told that it was God who is rich in mercy, who made us alive again. That it was God, because of His loving grace, that we were made whole again. And the beauty, my friends, is that God's grace and God's blessings that are poured upon us did not stop at baptism. They did not stop when we put on Christ in the waters of baptism, but rather God gives us every day more than what we actually deserve or can even expect. If we were to only stop on that one day when the year reaches its end, and when the new beginning is on the horizon, and for that one day, like the Jews did during the Passover feast, we simply remember the works of God in our lives. We cannot help but then fall to our knees and say, "Thank you, God. Thank you, because truly you have been a blessing in my life. You have been a presence that has never let go of my hand. You have always been there." Whether it's been good times or whether it's been trying times, it is a time for us to remember the works of God. Because in doing so, we then, like the Samaritan leper, will fall upon our face, and with a loud voice, we will glorify God, because we will know that He healed us from our spiritual leprosy. We will know that not only did He give us our life back, He's also kept us and preserved us from becoming spiritually sick yet again. But brethren, we see that in regards to the past, they were to remember the works of God. But then we see that in the present, on the day of the Passover, at the night, as they were getting ready and they were preparing to leave Egypt, because God had promised them that on that night, their new beginning would arrive. They had instructions that they needed to obey. They had things that they needed to prepare on that moment. They had to prepare the unleavened bread with the bitter herbs that God had commanded them. They had to have sandals upon their feet and their waist girded, ready to leave. They had to be inside of their homes with the blood of the firstborn lamb upon the lintels and the posts of their door. There were instructions that they were given that they had to do then in the present. They could not just simply stand idle, but rather in the moment and in the present, as the old year began to pass and the new year began to rise, in that moment of present, they were to be obedient and they were to be active and diligent so that they could be prepared and ready to begin their new year. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. The Bible tells us, brethren, that we too must be active and diligently in our present. We must not get lost in the past. We must make sure that we do not get stuck in the past. Beginning there at chapter 6, remember that in chapter 5, as a way of context, beginning verse 12 through 14, the inspired amanuensis of Hebrews has just reprimanded the Hebrews because of their lack of growth. He has just reprimanded them because they were not eating of the solid food. They had remained stuck in the past. But observe chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. "Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of the eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits." Notice, brethren, that what you and I are to do now in the present, As we look forward presently on this present day toward the future of what this new beginning holds for us, we need to prepare diligently. We need to make sure that we are not still stuck in the elementary doctrines that we should already know. What we see is that God here is encouraging us to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of His Son and our Savior Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, the Apostle Peter encourages us to be like newborn babes, that we are to desire the undefiled, the unadulterated milk of the gospel, so that we can grow, so that we can develop. You see, our sandals must always be fitly on our feet. Our loins must always be girded with our belts. Our sandals and our feet and our hands must have everything prepared, because any day now, our eternal beginning will come. And we have to be ready. We have to be ready for when that day comes. Scripture tells us it should not come as a thief in the night for you and I, because we've been waiting for it. We've been prepared. We've been diligently working and making sure that when the husband returns, we are not found like those five foolish virgins of the parable of Matthew 25. To be prepared, brethren, to be diligent means to grow, to exercise our spiritual discernment, to apply the lessons from Scripture in our daily lives, not only to research them, but to use them in our personal lives, and then to share them with those who have questions about the gospel. But we cannot remain always on the same subjects. We cannot remain always answering the same questions in so many different ways. We must be willing and ready and prepared to move forward and to continue to nourish and feed our minds with the Word of God. Because the purpose of eating is to grow. It nourishes our body so that our body will have the nutrients necessary for our bones and our organs and all of it together to be healthy and grow healthily. Yes, even at 39, I still have faith I'll grow an extra inch one day. But notice, brethren, notice how in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, in order for us to be able to move toward the new beginning, in order for us to actually be adequately prepared for the future, we have to get out of the past. We have to get out of the past. We cannot remain always in the glory days. We cannot always remain on when things were better, or when life was easier, or when time was not as challenging as it is now. Because even though our mind may remain there, our heart may remain there, our body tells us you're not that age anymore. That time is long past. If you are not prepared now, what were you doing then? Did you not realize you were going to grow old one day? Do we not realize that we all have a day that we cannot escape? We all have a day when we will either meet our Maker through death, or we will meet our Maker when He returns. But because that day has yet to come, like the Israelites, we have to prepare today. We have to use this new beginning that has already dawned on us 7 days ago. The ending of 2023 should have been used to remember the works of God. And notice that we are using the present to look at the past and to look at the future. But it is in the present where diligence and preparation is required of us, my friends. Because we are preparing for the future. We are preparing for the new beginning that now has already commenced for us. We don't know what this year holds. We don't know how many of us will be still standing by the end of 2024. We don't know if some of us will be still whole by the end of 24. We don't know. But it doesn't mean that we cannot prepare. It does not mean that we should not prepare. You see, when we go back to Exodus chapter 12, we see that God told them this is going to be the beginning of the months. This will be the first day of the year for you. And observe that the way they received the new year was by remembering the works of God through the Passover feast, by being diligent in keeping the commandments of God on that eve of the new year. But then it was also by looking forward to the promised land, to the fulfillment of the promise. They were looking to the future. They were looking to what God had promised Father Abraham, that now they were going to be able to enjoy. They were looking to the land of Canaan. They were looking forward to the land that flowed with milk and honey. And therefore, even though they were in the present, remembering the past, they too were looking forward to the future. They had a focus. They had a goal. They had a place. They were getting ready to go and conquer and call their own. Turn now with me to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Beginning there at verse 12. Philippians chapter 3, beginning at verse 12. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended it, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Notice the verb tenses used by the Holy Spirit here. Observe how in verse 12 we see that Paul saw in the future that there were still things he needed to work on. Not that I have already attained. This is the present. In this moment, Paul says, as I am writing this letter, as I am writing this inspired epistle to you all, I am looking at my life. I have considered the past of the works of God in me, and I am realizing that I have not yet been perfected. There is still work to be done. In fact, you go back two chapters in chapter 1, we see where the Apostle Paul had this also clearly in mind. For there we see that the Apostle Paul also mentions that for him, life was gained in Christ. Yet, beginning at verse 22, but if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. Very different from what he told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. You see, with Timothy, Paul was sure, my work is done. He was sure, there's nothing else that I have left to accomplish that God has assigned me. I have fought the good faith. I have kept the faith. I have finished the race. When he wrote to Timothy, in that present, Paul knew, I'm done. My retirement is about to happen. But when he wrote to the Philippians, there's still work to be done. I am not finished. My journey has not yet reached, nor has it crossed the finish line. Therefore, because I have not yet been perfected, I still have work to do. Notice verse 12 once again. I press on. Diligence in the present. I keep moving. I keep working. I keep moving forward. Now notice the past, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. I remember the works of God in Christ. I remember what Christ did for me. I remember what Christ told Ananias of me. I remember what Christ revealed to me. I remember how Christ gave me my instructions, gave me my marching orders. I remember that I was by His grace chosen for the ministry of the Gentiles. Do not forget my purpose. I do not forget my mission. I do not forget my master. So I press on. I continue to work. I continue to march. I continue to move forward. Then the future. Notice, I press, verse 14, toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul's eyes were always focused on the prize. Paul's eyes were always focused on the promise made to him by Christ Jesus. His eyes were always on the same goal as was those of Israel in Exodus 12. The goal has always been reaching the promised land. Reaching that true promised land that flows with milk and honey, that today we call heaven. Our goal, brethren, is not in this world. Our goal is not going to ever be met in this physical life. Our goal, as the apostle says so eloquently, is the prize of the upward call. We have to stop looking down. We have to stop looking here. And we have to raise our head, raise our eyes, and look toward the heavens. Because that is our goal. That is our future. That is our prize. And everything we do here in life will echo in eternity. When the year ends and the new year begins, notice how New Year's Eve serves to look at the past with the intention of getting prepared for the future. But we have to be careful. We have to remember not to get stuck in the past. We have to be diligent in our present so that we will not get lost in the future. Yes, we look forward to the Beulah land. We look forward to being with our God for all of eternity. And this, brethren, in according to Exodus chapter 12, is the wisest way to effectively use New Year's Eve to New Year's Day. Because it's a new beginning. Every year that ends begins with a new beginning. And it is wise for us to be grateful to our God. It is wise for us to be obedient to our God. And it is wise for us to be expectant of our God. Thus, as this new beginning has already commenced for us, let us learn to count our days. Let us learn as the psalm that many believe was written by Moses himself. As Moses pleads in that psalm, teach us to count our days so that we may learn to live wisely. God taught Moses and Aaron how to count their days wisely. Remember my works. Be diligent in your preparation and look toward the promised land. Look toward the upward call of heaven. And this is how you earn and gain a quality of life. So, my friend, this evening I ask you, how is the life that you are living in terms of quality? What is the value of your life right now? If you were to examine your life, would you be righteous in knowing and seeing the works that God has done in your life to this point now? The fact that you are alive, the fact that you are healthy, the fact that you are here now, those are only a few of the works that God has already worked in your life that, like us, many times take for granted. But when you step back and you stop for a moment right now in the present, and you look back to those works, doesn't it make you want to say, thank you, Father? Thank you because you didn't have to give me what I have. If it were not for you, I would not enjoy these blessings that I am now enjoying. Because life, my friend, life indeed is a blessing. But in Christ, the quality of life improves significantly. In Christ, the blessing becomes even better. Because that life that you are now enjoying is but for a moment. Scripture says that it is like a shadow that passes. It is like the grass that withers. Your life and my life here on earth is fragile. But the blessing amplifies in Christ Jesus because life in Him is everlasting. Life in Him is permanent. It's durable. And it will never end. Today you can have access to that blessing. Today you can improve significantly the quality of your life if you are ready to obey the gospel in the waters of baptism. You have heard the gospel preached to you tonight, and therefore, because you have heard the word of God, faith has come from it. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. The fact that you are listening intently and you are processing this information and you have yet to reject it as untrue and as illogical means that you believe. It means that you believe that what you are hearing indeed makes sense because the evidence is there and you cannot deny it. Therefore, you believe that what you are hearing indeed is accurate, just like the Ethiopian eunuch believed with all of his heart. Acts chapter 8, verse 37. But unlike him, what follows is where your process needs to continue. You have to stop resisting the word of God. And you have to be willing to change your mind, change your heart. That is, to repent by acknowledging that you are a sinner, as we once did. By recognizing that you have been disobedient to the gospel call. Because Luke chapter 13, verse 3 and verse 5 says that lest you repent, you shall surely die in your sins. And when you have had that change of heart where you no longer resist God, but you are now willing to submit and obey God, well, then you come before men and you confess that Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of God. You confess before men that you believe with all of your heart that Jesus is the Son of God, as Peter did in Matthew 16, 18. And then you obey in accordance to the commandment given by Christ. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16 teaches us that if you indeed believe, then you will obey by being baptized for the remission of your sins. And when you are baptized for the remission of your sins, God, through the blood of Christ, will wash away your sins. And in that moment, in that instant, you will rise to a newness of life. Romans 6, 3 and 4. And then the commandment is, be faithful unto death. Revelation 2, 10. March. Press on. Press toward the upward call, the upward prize of our calling. These are the steps of salvation. The question now is, here is water. What hinders you from being obedient to the gospel tonight? If there is anyone subject tonight to want to obey the gospel, or if you, friend, if you still need some questions that need to be answered, if you still are in need to see more and understand better what it is that you need to do, you want to understand better the process of salvation, then don't hesitate to come forward to ask us to help study with you. to allow the Word of God to answer those questions that you may have. But my friend, if you already know what you should do, then as Scripture says in 2 Corinthians 6:1, behold, now is the day of salvation. Why wait? Why gamble with your soul? My brethren, have we been counting the days to have a wise life? Have we been preparing for the upward call that shall come one day? Have we been grateful by remembering the works of our God in our lives, by looking back and thanking Him through prayer and through obedience? If you have not, and if you realize that you are in need of prayer, if you are in need of encouragement, if you are in need of assistance, please don't hesitate. We can pray on your behalf. Therefore, if you are in need of our encouragement, if you are in need of repentance, we encourage you to come forward as we stand and sing our hymn tonight.